For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have that dump button ready, because I honestly have no idea what's going to come out of my mouth.
Get ready for takeoff.
There's no way that I'm tapping out.
You're listening to Unkillable.
If you didn't kill us last night, we are unkillable.
Hosted by Brandon Tierney.
All right, what's happening, everybody? Episode 5, as we get into where the Jets are, and amazingly, the Jets are not yet dead. And it's funny, the first four episodes, it was a combination of anger, resignation. Today's a little different. Today is a little hope. The Jets have a chance. I'm going to run down a couple of things here. I mean, when I say a chance, they basically can't lose again, but they are not out of it. And they got a couple of breaks last week with some of the games that broke their way. I want to get into some of the games this week that matter to them, independent of their game with the Cardinals in terms of the standings, and also jump into a bit of a Cardinals preview. So first up, let me get this out of the way. The Mike Williams trade. See, this is what's interesting to me. I don't disagree with it because obviously he had no role. All right. And, you know, whether or not you get a fourth rounder or a fifth rounder, which is what they got, to me, that's fairly immaterial, because if they don't make the playoffs, the gentleman who made the trade, Joe Douglas, is not going to be around to actually take that fifth round pick and cash in on the draft for the 2025 draft. So that's a little odd. I don't think, even though I know what Rodgers said about Mike Williams a couple of weeks back, I don't think that there was a real personality clash. I don't think Mike's that kind of guy. I know that Aaron said on the Pat McAfee pod, or Pat McAfee show, I should say, that he's fairly quiet. He's, you know, he's a good dude, goes about his business. So, listen, maybe Aaron's just saying the right thing and he doesn't want to, you know, take any shots. He's gone. And maybe that's what he really wanted. He just wanted him to be gone. And if so, he got his wish. But see, I look at it this way. If the Jets would have won one more game before the trade deadline, whether it's the Steelers game, well, basically any game that they lost, whether it's the Broncos, whether it's the Bills, all the tight ones, the Vikings out in London, et cetera, the Patriots, of course, if they would have won one of those games, I think they may have been buyers. Here's the crazy part of like where the Jets reside, because most teams, you know, like the Giants, I'll use the Giants for a moment. They didn't really do much selling, but you knew they weren't going to buy. They're 16th out of 16th in the NFC and they're going nowhere. Whereas with the Jets, you know, as I said, if you rip off a couple of wins and a few of the teams that they're chasing, they're going to play. So there's an avenue. There's a path for the Jets to make this season maybe somewhat meaningful. All right. So that's the first aspect. If they would have lost one more game, you can make the case that the Jets very well may have been buyers, sellers, whether it's DJ Reed, whether it's some other pieces that they just don't see that they're going to, you know, maybe not bring back at some point. So because they won the last game against the Texans, it puts them in this very unique spot where they're not, you know, they're not going full blast for it in terms of bringing more guys in. They're not going to, you know, dismantle, because there's still a fighting chance, as I've already said. So did they do the right thing? Yeah, I mean, I think that they did. I think that they did. I don't have a problem with how they handle this. My only concern is, and I'm not even too wrapped up, I've heard a few people say this, like, wow, I mean, how do you trade him to the Steelers? I mean, you know, you're chasing the Steelers. Okay, whatever. My greater concern is this week against the Cardinals, and then the next week against the Colts, Alan Lazard is out Not that Alan Lazard's great, but Alan Lazard has a proven chemistry with Aaron Rodgers. He's a different player with Aaron than he was with Zach Wilson. All right. So to not have Lazard and go into must-win games now, you know, and you have two terrific receivers. Devontae's great. Garrett's great. That catch was, I still can't get over that catch. My God, it was sick. And now you have Xavier Gibson as the third. And I'm like, all right. I know he's got one touchdown. He's got four receptions this year. So I know Mike Williams wasn't getting a lot of burn. I understand he and Rodgers, not that there was friction. I'm not trying to start anything, but they didn't gel for whatever reason, whether it's schematically, it didn't work. All right. And it was a 1 year, $10 million flyer on the part of the Jets, and they weren't going to bring him back. So, you know, if you're ever going to get rid of somebody, you're going to get rid of somebody that you don't plan on bringing back. All right. Fair enough. All right. And, you know, down the road, you can take the, see, let me take a quick step back. People say, why would you even trade somebody for a fifth or a sixth round pick? I'll tell you why. It's not that you're going to get a great player in round five, although Tom Brady was round six and, you know, Joe Montana was round four and, you know, Russell Wilson was middle round. You never know, right? But to me, it's more about being able to have that extra capital, in this case, the fifth rounder. And if they want to, you know, pair that up with a third or a fourth round, whatever it might be, to move up X amount of slots in the 2025 draft to get somebody that they target, that maybe they read the board, they make some calls, we might take it, and you get the sense, all right, if we don't jump up 8 spots, 12 spots, even more, we're not going to get the player. So it's never a bad thing to have that equity in your back pocket. So conceptually, I understand it on most levels, all right? Again, just a little bit of an odd space that the Jets have been in, and let's face it, the Jets created this odd space because they flushed so many wins down the chute. And, you know, I do think, and I'll get more into the Cardinals and what they present issue-wise in a little bit here on the pod, but, you know, I do think that in broad terms, the Jets will be able to score on Arizona. They're not a very prolific defense. They run the ball very well, and that's that could very well be the fatal problem for the Jets, who can't stop the run at all, nor can they really run the ball. But are you telling me in what, at least on paper, it's a pick 'em right now, on paper, very well might be a one-possession game, that Mike Williams, even if he plays 25 snaps, whatever it might be, when you've got your two stars on the opposing team's top two corners, that Mike Williams on the third corner can't haul in a 9-yard touchdown. You just lob it up. You know he's big. Goes up and gets it, and the Jets win by a touchdown, would keep their season alive. It's a risk because, listen, they could get blown out, and then we could sit here and say, eh, you probably should have traded Mike Williams. Or they can, you know, Gibson could have a sneaky good game and they can win and you don't miss Mike Williams. So I get it. Can't crush them, can't laud them, but that's basically how I see the Mike Williams trade.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, now, I got to put the glasses on for this. I go old school with the notepad, and my writing, it's funny, my voice is loud, my writing is small. It's an odd combination. All right, so now for the standings, right? So when you look at this, and we did this on the last pod, before I started getting a little excited. Once they took the lead against the Texans, all right, let me see where they are in the standings. They were 15th in front of the Tennessee Titans, who they beat week two. And I was out there for that, right? So with the win, they jumped to 10. Now, well, what's in front of them? Well, you know, what's in front of them is Denver is in the 7th slot at 5-4. You got the Colts at 5-4. They play the Colts in 2 weeks, so you can inflict real, you know, team-to-team damage there. And Cincinnati is in the 9th spot with 4 wins. So it's, again, not inconceivable. The Jets win this, if the Jets win this game, and they bag win number 4, okay, And then the Bengals, who play the Ravens on Thursday night this week, which is a tough matchup. I'm not going to say that they can't win with Joe Burrow and Chase and some of their players, but I mean, the Ravens are averaging 180 yards rushing on the ground, and Lamar's been phenomenal. And they just made a trade. I think the Ravens win. So now there's a real chance to jump over the Bengals. And now suddenly you could be in nine, or at least tied for ninth. And then you play the Colts the next week. And if you could beat them, blah, blah, blah. So there is a window here that I think some of you understand. And I don't mean just the eternal optimist. Hey, you're not dead until you're dead. You're still mathematically alive. I mean a little deeper than that. Like, there is now the Jets have to fulfill their end of the bargain, and they've got to do things better. As good as the Texans win was, it was one half. The first half, they played awful. And the second half, they looked like the team we thought they'd be this year. So can they start piecing together? I would even start with four quarter games. Can you start piecing together three quarter games? My answer is I think that they could, because I saw some mobility from Aaron Rodgers that we have not yet seen this year, whether he was either reluctant to run as he learned to trust his Achilles again, which is normal. I had that injury. Not that I was trying to run away from 6'5", 295 pound defensive ends who run, you know, four fives and can bench press a truck. But, you know, just the day-to-day functionality is, it's tough. That is a very, very tough injury. So maybe it's taken him a little longer than we would have liked, but now he's a little more willing to run. And even if it's one first down or extends the pocket and, you know, sprints a couple of yards to his right and a couple of yards upfield, short of the line of scrimmage, and now somebody's open, you have a broken play, I'll put my money on Rodgers finding that guy with a dime. So that's definitely encouraging. Now, the next part of this, all right, on the standings perspective, I already started doing this last week, and they definitely got some help. What you need to do is you got to, of course, hope to hell that the Jets win, and I'll give you a prediction in a moment, but now you need to start looking at the other matchups, which absolutely impact the standings. Now, I told you Denver is 5-4. I don't believe in Denver. Now, the problem is that Denver already beat the Jets, all right? But that's a head-to-head tiebreaker. Do you know the Denver Broncos have yet to play the Kansas City Chiefs? So that's two L's that's going to get hung on them. They're not beating them. All right, so I just think that the road's going to get a little bumpy, and I wouldn't be surprised. So that nine, got eight games left. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they go... I think they're going to go 4-4. I wouldn't be stunned if they're 3-5. And if they're 3-5 and the Jets do more and they go, say, 6-2, then that would offset the head-to-head tiebreaker that the Jets would lose out on currently with the Denver Broncos. So you got the Broncos side, you got the Colts side. We'll see them in 2 weeks. And then Cincy. Cincy's going to lose on Thursday. Now you start looking beyond that. All right, well, who will the Colts be playing before they show up at MetLife? And the game's time's been moved, by the way, in case you guys don't know that. Although if you're a big Jets fan, you probably do. They're playing the Bills. Bills are going to beat them. So you would imagine that after this week, the Colts are 5-5. The Jets are, if they win, 4-6. And then if they beat the Colts the next week, now it's like, now you're not sitting at 10 anymore. Now you're starting to bounce up those standings. All right, what are the Broncos doing? Well, they're playing the Chiefs this weekend. Where? In Arrowhead. L, hang it, loss. And then the Steelers, and listen, the Steelers are a pipe dream. I don't think you're catching the Steelers. I just don't. And they also have the head-to-head tiebreaker. I just think they're better than Denver. They won't collapse, whereas I think the Broncos could, which opens up that window for the Jets to maybe jump by them. But the Steelers are in Washington. And, you know, I think the Steelers can squeeze out a tight win, but it's obviously going to be very close. Now, the other thing, and I'll admit, I didn't process it this way. Maybe I should have when the schedule first came out. Now, I'm going to make a promise to you. I hope that the Jets from now on, I hope that the Jets live in scheduling anonymity. I don't want any more Sunday games. I don't want any more London games. I don't want Germany. I don't want... You know, Thursday night football month. I don't want it. You know why? Because what it did was, and I didn't factor this in real, and again, I was just excited and, you know, galvanized like, oh, hey, Jets, we got all these primetime games. And because we're usually losers and nobody wants to watch us, you know, be honest, maybe feel a little important as a Jet fan. Like, all right, we got the national stage. And, you know, as a fan of a team who never, ever gets the national stage, I felt emboldened by that, like almost validated. Not that it guaranteed wins, but I'm like, all right, we had it last year. Rodgers gets hurt right away. We have to sit through the misery of primetime game after primetime game, and the NFL. And I don't disagree with this thought process. They rolled the dice and they said, you know what? We bet on Rodgers a year ago. We're going to bet on Rodgers now. And it looks like so far they're 0-2. But the point is, when you look at their schedule, right? How did it start out? You know how it started out. They played the San Francisco 49ers. Now, the Niners are not as powerful as we thought. I mean, McCaffrey's banged up. They're not as good as we thought. They have injuries all across the board. But when the schedule first opened up, I'm like, all right, even though I think the Jets will win 10 or 11 games this year, they're not winning that game. I never thought they'd win the game. I think, if I recall, I think they were 6-point dogs, maybe 4.5. I feel like it was 6. And I thought they'd cover, you know, have a better showing than they did and play well. And all right, go to Tennessee and mop them. And they didn't really mop them. They won. But as I take you through this journey of where the Jets have been and why, not only because Rodgers looks better, things might be on the precipice of changing. And it could be a long winning streak here, hopefully, because so you got the trip out there, 3,000 miles out west. It's tough. I mean, I don't care if you're really good. That's a tricky way to start. Then you have the Tennessee game. Then eventually you're in London, right? Which presents all sorts of issues. Now, the Jets, they didn't do this, and this is probably their fault. They had the option. When you go to London or you play an international game, you have the option of having the bye right away or passing on that and having it at another time. They elected to just play ball right away. So you're coming off the London trip and all the bells and the whistles and the 6-hour difference, whatever it is. And it's an arduous routine. It's a different routine. All right. And pro athletes want to stay in routine, and they were out. And then who do they play the next day? They didn't play the Titans. They played the Bills. So wacky scale, 3,000 miles, then London, then a tough game against the Bills, which they very well should have won. Then you have a short week and you're at Pittsburgh, a short week at Pittsburgh. Then you have a short week with the Texans, which they won after the Patriots game, which they lost. What does all that mean? It means that I hate the schedule makers. That's what it means. Because what they really did was they put a team that needed to gel, mainly because of Rodgers, and really the offensive line as well, with several new pieces. And instead, they made them play a lot of games in a few amount of in a smaller amount of space, I think is the better way to say it. So now the Jets didn't play this weekend. You know, they got a little time, but they're a little fresh. Play Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, go out west, Saturday, play Sunday late. That's 10 days. That's 10 days to regenerate. That's 10 days to feel good about yourself, which, let's face it, I mean, there's no way they could feel good about themselves, but a win will change a lot. You know, it's just that the building changes, the tone changes, the belief and the conviction and what you're trying to do as a team, it increases exponentially. Even if to us, it's only one win and it's only their third win of the season and it's basically almost the middle of November, they now are going to be fresh and well-rested for Sunday. And then on a much more conventional schedule with conventional rest baked in the rest of the way. And I think that's a good thing. I don't hear anybody talking about that. Like when you talk about, and it's not an excuse, it's context. And I think that there's a big difference. Now, if they come out and they get blasted this weekend, then it's like, they could have had 30 days off. This just isn't the team. And very well, that could be the case. But I think that they were, and many people were reacting to like, Rodgers, he's not there yet. Rodgers and Garrett Wilson, not on the same page early. And that was definitely true. And then they got Devontae, and then you got to fuse him into it. But also like the offensive line was, you know, Tyron Smith is new. Morgan Moses was here before, but he's back. And, you know, it's just, it's different. And then you lose Vera Tucker. What else is new? Vera Tucker gets hurt. So you got to plug this guy. It's just a lot of moving parts. And I think there was a lot working against the Jets. And quite frankly, if they had a kicker who knew how to do his job, it's a totally different season. But hey, kicker shank, kickers doink, guys get hurt. I don't want to hear it. I'm not here for excuses. I'm here for context. Now, By the way, do you feel a little bit better about this now? I think, like, if I were you and I'm hearing this, and I'm like, yeah, Cardinals, right? They're all right. Yeah, but even if the Jets get hot, they're probably not going to be able to pull this off. If you're on the fence, almost like with voting, right? You weren't sure which way you, and I think with this election, I think, you know, most people, they knew immediately, right? But say you weren't sure, can the Jets pull it out, or you just didn't know? I don't know. Maybe what you just heard is enough for you, enough fuel for you to attack this game with a different sense of energy and a different sense of urgency. Like, from a fan's perspective, not that we have any impact on the game, even though sometimes we think that we do. I'll be honest with you, and I told you this after the, you know, the Thursday game, pod number four. That game, it was Halloween. You know, kids ringing the doorbell, just going. And I mean, I love the holidays, and I love the kids. I've got two of them, but holy shit, there's a lot going on. And then I'm like, I'm exhausted, right? The World Series, staying up late, and then the game starts. I'm like, here we go, national TV. Now, I actually thought the Jets had a chance to win that game. I told you that before, because of how bad the Texans offensive line is. I don't know if you remember the stat from the Texans game. They were number one in sacks allowed going into that game. Jets had eight, so that only got worse. And they were number two in pressures allowed, or tied for second in pressures allowed. So, you know, with Reddick back, and obviously Q is a beast and some other pieces, I thought they'd get after their quarterback. And then when you know that, as you probably did, both of their receivers were out, I knew they'd become even more one-dimensional than maybe they would have been prior to, even though the first dimension running hurt the Jets in the first half because Mixon crushed them. So they made some adjustments and they won the game. But when I sat down, I was just like, honestly, I was watching the game because it's my job. If I, even Sal texted me, he said, dude, I'm not watching the game. Like, he watched it literally. He's like, I can't watch this anymore. I mean, think about what we said. And I'm like, I don't blame you. I have a pod that I'm doing and I have to watch this. Otherwise, I join you and I wouldn't. I would watch the Penguin, which is awesome, by the way. I'm only through six. I've got to catch up from this past Sunday. I would have done something else. But I watched it with one eye open. I was half asleep. But as the game progressed and that catch by Garrett, I'm like, all right. And then you start to look at the schedule. So as I lay it out for you, not that you run around, pounding your chest saying the Jets are back, but you should at least be able to embrace the notion that the Jets aren't dead, because they're not. They're definitely not dead. All right. Now, Cardinals, what do the Cardinals present? You know, and they are pretty tough. I think that there's an association with the Cardinals, probably like their association with us. Certain teams you just think are always going to stink, no matter when you're playing. Like, the Browns, whatever, they suck, we'll beat them. The Jets, they suck, we'll beat them. The Cardinals, they're trash, we'll beat them. They're not trash, all right? They're definitely not trash. They got a good quarterback who's had an interesting start to his career. Not great, he's good, and he's definitely a threat to run, which is a problem for the Jets. And they illustrated, I take a step back now, they illustrated that in the Patriots game, not the Texans game as much, the Patriots game, where the Jets kept running three defenders toward the left of the quarterback before May went down, right? And even Jacoby Brissett after that. So they got three guys flying from their right side against the Patriots' left side, and it's just a numbers game. Oh, that's nice. You know, one, two, three. No, I'm just going to go to the right. And that's Drake May hurt him on the ground. And Brissett also had a really critical run too. So I think when you look at some of the schematics here and what could hurt the Jets, I mean, Kyler Murray very well could run for 75 yards, if not more, and house one. He can house one from 75 if the Jets aren't buttoned up. Now, it's game three for Reddick, and the rust should be gone. The soreness should be gone. You know, the cardio and the energy level should be more sustainable. And I think that's a good thing. But he's going to run, and they're going to run. So let me give you some stats here. All right. So I don't pretend that everybody knows this. The Cardinals now, they're seventh in rushing yards a game. They average 150 a game. And we know what the Jets' weakness is. That's that right there terrifies me. All right. And then you look at it like, well, can the Jets run? Not really, because the Jets are, I mean, this is such a pathetic figure. Now, some of this was they threw too much before Downing took over and they were just too pass dependent. They were just, they were idiots, honestly, the way they ran their offense. I don't know how else to say it. But you can score on the Cardinals. All right, the Cardinals allow, what, 24 points a game, which is 18th, so slightly worse than 50%, you know, below 50 percentile. And they give up a lot of yards, 25th yards allowed, which stinks. Now, it's a little bit more of a, not entirely, but a little more of a bend but don't break. All right, I'll kind of take that. If you give Aaron Rodgers and Breece Hall and Garrett and Devontae and even Conklin now, and Gibson can run. He's elusive, so maybe he gets loose for something. If you give them a chance to bend you, I think eventually Rodgers, this Rodgers that I saw the second half against the Texans, he might break you more than he certainly did the first couple of the games. So, you know, I think it's a tight one. I'm going to give the Jets the win. I am. You know, and I don't want to take credit for this. Somebody, was it Evan? Was it Evan and Sean? I don't want to get it wrong. But on the afternoon show, I guess the Jets had T-shirts printed up of the Garrett Wilson catch, right? I got to get one of those, by the way. Unkillable. How about unstoppable with that? I still think it was better than OBJ, but I'm not going to debate that again. And I don't think Tiki liked it. I don't know why. I didn't hear the clip. I didn't see the stuff on social media. I just saw a little blurb, and I'm like, I was doing something. But those who liked it on the show, I think two of them did, they said, you know, there's actually, maybe this is their OMG moment. Now, I'm not a Mets fan, but it's undeniable the mojo the Mets were creating with the song, with Iglesias, and the OMG sign when somebody hit a home run, and the concert on the field, and all the magic. About the grimace stuff, that was kind of corny, but the other stuff was organic and it worked out well. I don't know. I mean, maybe that shirt or that moment is the literal springboard to the Jets realizing that they're a whole hell of a lot better than they've shown, and that if they button up one or two things, that the Jet in certain spots the Jets can downright kick your ass. Like, it's not like we're sitting here. Let me try to get a few names from the past. And I don't mean productive players like Marshall and Decker. That was a fun team. 10 wins, Todd Bowles' first year. I'm not looking for that. How about like Jeremy Curley and Quincy Enunwa? Now, I think Enunwa would have been good. Actually, I loved him if he didn't get hurt. But I'm going to stick more with Curley. It's not like I'm sitting here saying, all right, if this average player overperforms and you get a little lucky with the standings and this happens and this quarterback who's average to slightly below can capture a little bit of magic like Fitzpatrick did that year, 30 something touchdowns, maybe the Jets can mess around and create something and maybe steal the wild card. No one's saying that. Like, don't forget, and it was easy to forget this during so many spurts of the season so far, do not forget that right now, and I don't want to be a prisoner of the moment with Garrett's catch, but between Devontae Adams and Garrett Wilson, is there absolutely, definitively speaking, a better wide receiver duo than that? Probably not. You have the young ascending star. You've got the still in the back end of his prime Hall of Famer who's got great synergy with the QB. I'll take my chances with that. You have the quarterback who's finally starting to show that he's never going to be like he was years ago, but I mean, Rodgers can still spin it, man. The way he throws the ball, it's glorious. It's gorgeous. It's just beautiful, right? So Rodgers is Rodgers, and that encompasses a bit because he's not quite the athlete that he was, and he's thrown some more picks and made some more mistakes, but still good. Tyron Smith is a massive issue at left tackle, so I'm not even going to bring him into it, but DJ Reed's a stud. Sauce was a stud. I don't know what in the world's going on with Sauce Gardner, but he has been, the last couple of weeks, he has not looked good. Not only has he not looked like Sauce, he hasn't really looked that good at all. Like, he had a chance to basically beat the Patriots. He got abused. He can't tackle. He still doesn't make interceptions. Like, I mean, I'm not trying to bag on him, but he's taking a step back. But if he becomes sauce again with DJ Reed and, you know, with Michael Carter, who's a very good corner, you got some safeties getting healthy. You know, Breece Hall and Allen is a good running back duo. Like, you know, don't tell me that the Jets cannot win some games. They could. And I believe they win Sunday. You want to score? All right, Ev, I'm going to hit him up with, I think the Jets will score. You know, I'm going to go a little nuts here. I'm going to say that this is the first week that the Jets score 30. I'm going to say Jets 30, Cardinals 20. I'll say the Jets will bend a little bit on defense. They'll sell out on the run. And they'll still get gashed a little bit because they're vulnerable there. But that's mission one to stop it. And the Cardinals will keep running because they know that they think, and they probably will at some point, they're going to eventually pierce the Jets defense because they're not good at that. And when a team keeps running, what happens? Tick, 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 clock expires. I would be really surprised, unless there's special team meltdowns or Rodgers throws a pick six, whatever. I don't think that the Cardinals are going bonkers offensively. I do think the Jets, and I gave you some of the stats before and some of the yards that they give up, they're vulnerable, the Cardinals. So I think the Jets win 30-20. And then from there, who the hell knows what happens? But just to remind, you know, in terms of what the other teams do to assist the Jets' cause, hey, listen, root for the Ravens, root for the Bills, root for the Chiefs, root for the Commanders this week. That's what you root for. Hope the Jets are healed up, rested, iced up, body regenerated from this ridiculous, stupid schedule that they gave us, which I thought was a favor. Oh, wow, we're on prime time. So amazing. Yeah, go Jets. Woohoo. And then you see it like, dude, you had no time to rest. So that hurt. That's over. Rear view mirror. And I think it's go time. And if it's not, then the season was a colossal failure. And everybody will be fired. And they will have a very tough decision where, depending upon who they bring in, if it's somebody who's established, and it better be at that point, that person very well might say, I don't want to move forward without Aaron. I respect him, Hall of Famer, we're starting over. And then at that point, you got to find a quarterback, and those are future pods and mock drafts and some interviews and all the stuff we'll do when it's time to do it. That time is not now. The Jets season, it didn't start in San Francisco. I know we all thought that it was supposed to. It started in the second half against the Houston Texans. All right. So, hey, spread the word. I'll be live after the game. It's a 4:25 kick out west. So 7:30 or so, we'll be live on YouTube, obviously Spotify, Apple, everywhere you guys, wherever you shop for your pod. Spread the word. Let your fellow Jet fans know that the Unkillable Pod is the numbers are good. You guys are doing a great job. I'm happy with the numbers. My company's happy with the numbers. So hopefully that, you know, if you don't know me from the radio and you've just kind of stumbled upon this, you don't know me from FAN, but you've stumbled upon this. Maybe you're a Jets fan across the country. Hey, listen, hopefully you understand what we're doing here. We're going to keep it real. We're going to have a little fun. And we're going to reliably be here for you because nobody deserves. Listen, this is part psychology. This is part, you know, inspiration. When it comes to this team, it is a little bit of everything. But as I skew optimistically here, I think we're about to eat for a couple of weeks. I don't know how it's going to end because I don't know what's going to happen with Miami, with Tua. You know, I thought that may have been easier than it could be, even though they've lost. They're 0-2 with Tua. I don't want to get too far down the road. Just win this game. I think they do. And I think the week leading up to the Colts, I think Jet fans by then are full throttle, pumped up, ready to roll. All right, so I'll catch you after the game. Appreciate you guys hanging out. Unkillable, number 5. I'll see you guys on Sunday. Thanks.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.